You clock out. We clock in. Welcome to the Torn by Sports Lunch Break.
Welcome to this edition of the Torn by Sports Lunch Break. Joining me today is Jared Lloyd from Daily Herald. How are you doing today, Jared?
I'm doing great. Hey, it's a football week. It's here in November. Getting down the home stretch. This is a great time of year. Getting ready for some basketball, too. So, yeah, lots of fun stuff going on.
Yeah, I mean, it's getting to what I would consider almost the apex of sports for Utah sports fans with, you know, college basketball coming up, college football, the Jazz are going. So it's a great time to be a sports fan.
Exactly.
So the best part that you mentioned for BYU fans is that it's a game day week, game coming up Friday night against San Jose State. You know, and to get started, I'm a little curious. So BYU played Wagner 2 weeks ago, had their bye week, and now it's a game week. San Jose State is coming off a bye week as well, and before that game they had, you know, a 10-point game against New Mexico. Do you think there's any kind of benefit to San Jose State potentially for some more momentum coming into the game versus, you know, what I've seen other BYU fans consider practically a bye week against Wagner?
Maybe a little bit. I don't really think it's going to be that significant, particularly with both teams coming off of the bye. You know, the college kids often live for the moment anyway. And so, I mean, what happened 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, I don't know if that necessarily is going to make a big difference. I think the difference, a lot of it might come down to which team comes out and is more sharp to start this game. Coming off a bye week, you know, it can give you a chance to get healthy, but it can also give you the opportunity to get rusty. So both teams are probably really hoping to come out sharp, ready to go, you know, execute well early in the game and kind of build some momentum that way. I think that's probably most important for both of these teams, much more so than what happened, you know, a couple of weeks ago. And neither of these teams are, you know, really on a downswing or have really had a monumental win to really ride the, you know, momentum from. I think both teams are kind of coming off wins and, you know, they're playing pretty well. So I think it's much more important which team starts well and is able to execute early on in the game on Friday night.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to talk about something that you did mention was, you know, getting healthy. You know, a couple weeks ago you wrote a piece in the Herald about what the Cougars want to accomplish during the bye week, and the number one was get healthy. What players do you think health-wise have benefited the most from having this bye week now?
Well, I think the obvious answer to that question has got to be Tanner Mangum. He had a hamstring injury that limited him coming out of the East Carolina win. He wasn't at 100% for the Cincinnati win. Obviously, he was doing better for Wagner, but that's hard to gauge because Wagner wasn't going to give BYU much of a challenge. But I really feel, you know, in talking to him this week, you know, he feels like he's much closer to 100%. The Cougars are pretty confident that he's going to be back where he needs to be. I also think that, you know, having Adam Hine be able to most likely rejoin, he's listed kind of as probable at this point at running back for BYU. I think that's a big step for them. Just in the fact that, you know, he gives you some things that, you know, help the offense out as far as explosiveness and, you know, his ability to break tackles. Algernon Brown's done a really good job. Francis Bernard's done a good job. You add Adam Hine to that mix at running back and his experience, and, you know, that just increases the ability of BYU's running game. And they're going up against the San Jose State team that has had some struggles stopping the run. So if you can get Adam Hine back, I think that helps a lot. And you know, across the board, you know, when you've been playing this many games, you're going to be dinged up. There's going to be little things that guys are dealing with. And if you can get a chance to, you know, heal the minor sprains, the bruises, the, you know, the lacerations, things like that, then it's just better. You know, you're going to come in a little bit more fresh, not quite as dinged up. And across the board, I think guys should be a little bit better in that sense just because they had some time to get healthy.
Yeah, I mean, I think every team looks forward to that bye week just for that getting healthy aspect. And Tanner Mangum clearly is the number one player that the team needs to get healthy. With that being said, you know, one thing that impresses me when I look at the stats for BYU's offense is how well they spread the ball around on the passing game. And, you know, I was kind of curious, how much does that speak to Tanner Mangum making his reads, or is that just a result of the Robert and I offense?
Well, that's how the Robert and I offense is designed. And when it's been at its best, which you'd probably be able to say that, you know, some of the best quarterbacks in that sense were John Beck, Max Hall at times. You know, those guys, when they really were running the offense to its fullest, they were spreading the ball around and getting a lot of guys involved. And there were times where you had, you know, tight ends like Dennis Pitta and Johnny Harleen that maybe, you know, were a little bit more prominent, wide receivers like Austin Colley. And but sometimes when those things arose, the offense stagnated a little bit. And so this is how it's designed to be, and I think Tanner Mangum's grasped that. And, you know, on the flip side, I don't think he's got any guys that he feels like, you know, are head and shoulders above the other ones. I think he feels like there's a bunch of different guys he can get the ball to and rely on them to be able to, you know, catch it, secure the ball, make something happen after the catch as much as possible, and, you know, set up the offense to be successful. And when you've got, you know, Mitch Matthews, Nick Kurtz, Devon Blackman, Mitchell Jurgens, you know, Trey Dye could be in that mix. You start looking at the running backs, and, you know, with Adam Hine, if he comes back, hopefully, you know, Alshon Brown could be more, you know, more of a, you know, a receiving threat. Those type of things. You've got a lot of different options. You know, Taron Howe's in that mix. You got a lot of different guys that he's pretty confident can make plays, so he doesn't have to rely on one, and that's much better for this particular offense. But I think he's grasped the concept, and that's really important as far as his progression and being able to move BYU's offense up and down the field.
I mean, it's an interesting thing. So you mentioned him being able to move the offense up and down the field. You also mentioned that San Jose State hasn't been able to really – they've struggled with the run, which, you know, some would argue that that makes their pass defense look better than what it really is because teams are able to run at will. How much of a struggle do you think the BYU offense might have against San Jose State's defense, and what statistically looks like a good pass defense?
Well, I think that there's, you know, the potential there. You also look at who exactly San Jose State has played, and none of the teams really necessarily wow me with their throwing ability. You know, the teams that San Jose State has gone up against kind of view it in the same line as Cincinnati, who came in with some, you know, high marks, and, you know, UConn was similar, and it wasn't necessarily that they were great, but more of a, you know, more of a factor of who they'd gone up against. And all of those things are involved in what they're going to do. Now, you know, one of the things that Robert and I talked about this week was that that San Jose State's defense is going to throw a lot of looks at you. They're going to try and mix things up, lots of different packages, lots of motion, you know, and so I don't think that this is a great San Jose State defense. But if they're able to mix things up and confuse Mangum, confuse the offensive line, which might be a little bit limited, you know, with some health concerns there, if they're able to confuse those guys, you know, they could stymie BYU's defense, BYU's offense, force some turnovers, you know, and really help their own offense make things happen. I think that's easier said than done. I think that, you know, BYU's offense has been clicking pretty good. I think the O-line's played some of the best football they've played in the last, you know, last few weeks. But I think that, you know, there's enough talent for San Jose State, and the way that they're coached, you know, is a big enough challenge that, you know, BYU's got to be assignment sound. They've got to be able to take care of business, you know, or, you know, San Jose State could surprise them.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. You know, one of the things you called as a goals for the bye week was to expand the playbook. And, you know, now there's things coming out that there's going to be a couple new wrinkles to the offense. What are you expecting to see in these new wrinkles for the offense?
I'm not expecting anything dramatic, to kind of emphasize that. It's more along the lines, in my opinion, of expanding what the team is able to run. And so, you know, you look at the same set. If you usually run one or two routes out of a certain set, that can be easier for a defense to handle. So if you add a third route concept, or, you know, switch things up a little bit. You know, the guy who normally, you know, goes on the out route now does an in, and all of a sudden the defense is caught flat-footed looking the wrong direction. And that's more of what I expect, that type of wrinkles where, you know, a route's a little bit different, you know, a rollout looks, you know, it sets up a different receiver to be open than it had in the past. Those types of little nuances that you might not even notice unless you've been watching every play really closely, but that's what defenses do. You know, defensive coordinators, defensive players, they break down what they expect expect the opposing offense to do and try their best to stop it. So if you can do some things they're not expecting inside those schemes and not confuse yourself, then that gives your offense the capability to be a lot better. And that's kind of what I expect more from BYU. A little bit, you know, some different route concepts, you know, maybe different blocking schemes, just to be able to, you know, make the defense hesitate a little bit, surprise them a little bit, and, you know, do things a little bit different. This isn't going to be a revamp of the offense. They're not going to change things, you know, all up and do everything all different or go back to the type of approach they had with Taysom Hill or anything like that. It's just going to be those little things, but those little things can make a big difference in a game.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Everyone knows that, you know, one mistake can really cost you. I mean, looking at mistakes, it's kind of interesting. The quarterback for San Jose State, Potter, they released an interesting stat. They said that, you know, any time that Potter has thrown two interceptions or more, San Jose State loses the game. So how critical is it for the defense to be able to capitalize on San Jose State's mistakes?
You know, football is such an interesting game because we talk about all of these complexities, and yet when you get right down to it, turnovers are one of the most basic parts of the game. I've said it a lot, and I believe that if you can, you know, if you can get 10 more points off of turnovers than the other team gets, you're going to win most of the games. And that's the situation where BYU has been, you know, been on both sides of that, you know, where they've turned the ball over a bunch, and they've also been on it when they've, you know, been the team forcing the turnovers. You really need to win that battle. The more you win that battle and the more you can capitalize on your opportunities there, the better off you're going to be. And I really feel that, you know, to get to your point about, you know, making Potter throw interceptions, a lot of that comes down to pressure. You know, if he's able to sit back there and take his time and, you know, decide what he wants to do, or if their running game is being so effective that their play action is really, really good, then, you know, it's going to be a lot harder to force him into mistakes. But if BYU can shut down the running game, force him to try and beat them with his arm, and then get in the backfield and make him make quick reads or get the ball out quick or, you know, those types of things, then it gives you a lot more chances to get a hand on a ball, you know, jump a route. You have a guy in his own coverage that he doesn't see. You know, all of those things are when you usually get turnovers, and I think that's what BYU, you know, is looking to do this week defensively, kind of force San Jose State to make those plays and beat them, you know, and while creating the opportunities for, you know, kind of those momentum swing plays, those turnovers, you know, to help facilitate the offense as well.
Yeah, I mean, the interesting thing with this San Jose State attack, and you kind of alluded to it, is their run game, and specifically their running back, Tyler Ervin, who is the key cog to their offensive game and one of their key guys on special teams as well, returning, I believe, both punts and kick returns. How do you expect the BYU defense, and specifically that battle in the trenches on both sides of the ball to go?
Well, this is one of those games where you need the athleticism and discipline to come together, because Tyler Ervin isn't the biggest guy in the world. He's not going to require five or six guys to bring him down. But he's the type of guy that if you are not assignment sound, if you don't break down and drive through him, he's going to make you, you know, he's the type of guy that can make you look silly really, really quickly and, you know, turn a short gain into a big gain just because you missed a tackle. So BYU has to be assignment sound for this particular game, and they have to use their athleticism to get multiple people in position to make plays. You know, if you get him one-on-one, I like his chances because he's that type of back. He can easily make one guy miss. So BYU needs to have two or three guys ready to make plays and be out there and work together to bring him down. They need to swarm to the ball and limit his effectiveness that way. And a lot of it, I think, comes down to what BYU is able to do, particularly on first down. You know, if you allow a guy like that to get 5-6 yards on first down, it gives you a lot of options, you know, as far as San Jose State's offense goes on second and third down. If you hold him to one, you know, or get him for a negative play, then all of a sudden their offense is in a completely different area. But expect him to see the ball a lot. Receiving, you know, kick returns like you mentioned, special teams, running the ball. You know, he is a very versatile weapon, and BYU needs to be ready for that. And they're aware of it. But just being aware, you know, it's easier to talk about stopping a guy like that than to actually do it. They've got to go out and really shut him down. And if they do, then, you know, that really is going to give BYU a big advantage for this game.
Yeah, I mean, you got to love the phrase easier said than done in this case. Well, here's something easier said than done. How are you going to be doing Saturday morning after this 9:30 kick on Friday?
Well, I'm coming. I'm heading out to San Jose, and then I will come back Saturday morning after the game. And, you know, it's one of these really late games that you know, TV, Bargo Mendenhall talked about how TV runs the show, and this is an example of it, an 8:30 Pacific time start, a 9:30 Mountain time, so the game will probably get done around probably 1 a.m. Mountain time. And that's not bad for a college student. Most college students I know are up till 1 anyway, but, there's going to be a lot to do, early Saturday morning and then make my flight and return to Utah after that game. But I really feel like this is a game where BYU, if they're able to come out sharp, has a good chance to get some separation early on. I'm not impressed necessarily with the San Jose defense. I think the Spartans really need to get some turnovers. You know, if BYU is able to take care of the ball, I like BYU's offensive chance, and that makes a big difference. So, we'll see what happens with the late Friday game, early Saturday morning.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, you kind of talked about it, but, BYU's a 12-point favorite. Who are you going to call to win this game? I think I can sense the way you're going.
Well, I'll make an official prediction, on game day on Friday. But yeah, I think the way BYU's played the last month, ever since that debacle in Ann Arbor, they've played good football on both sides of the ball. There have been moments, on both sides where they haven't been as effective. But I just think BYU has more weapons than San Jose State does at this point on both sides. And you look at that and, being on the road, they got to come out and play. They got to come out and execute and prove it. There's a lot that could go against them. I think if they struggle early, then this game could be really close. But, I like BYU's number of weapons. I like the way that, the offense has been, the success that the offense has been able to have overall. And I think that, San Jose State just, I don't know if they're going to be able to keep up.
Yeah. Well, Jared, I got one more question for you. This being the Torn by Sports lunch break, I got to ask, where are the top places for you to go to lunch in Utah County?
Oh, boy. Man, there's a lot of really good places. I'm a JCW's guy. It's the burger place locally. I love their burgers, really good shakes. When you're going for a burger, that's a great place. Love that. And, if I want a pizza, I usually head out to, a place called Brick Oven there in Provo near campus. I love Brick Oven. Been around for, 50 years or whatever. And they've got a lot of really good stuff there. And, those are probably a couple of my favorites that I'm going to check out and enjoy a couple of local hangouts that everybody recognizes in Utah County.
Yeah, all right. Well, thanks for spending some time with us, Jared, to give us some insight to BYU San Jose coming up Friday.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
This has been a Torn Life Sports production.